Kim Calhoun was born with cerebral palsy and was told from a young age that there were many things he wouldn't be able to do, but he proved many people wrong.
And when people came over to look at my treehouse, they'd see me walking and wobbling and they'd say, "You really let Cam go all the way up there? What if he falls over?" To which my mum and dad would respond, "But what if he made it to the top?" And so I think that whole thing of being able to build resilience and also never wanting to be defined by my cerebral palsy, rather being defined by my dreams and my ambition. You know, I didn't want to be Cam, the kid who walked different. I wanted to be Cam, the kid who made other kids feel good and believe that things were possible. Even if it's a really little kid, I knew I wanted to be popular at school, and therefore I knew that I had to step outside my comfort zone in order to create the comfort zone for other kids. We actually have way more in common than what makes us different. We all have lung, blood, heart, sense of humour. Well, most of us do anyway. And when you turn those things inside out, you build connection, you build rapport, you build friendship. And as a speaker, that's what I aim to do on stage, to make people feel good, to step outside their comfort zone and to give more than you ever receive.
You have reached not the 925 bot. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi there. I'm doing a boring day job and finding life sucks.
Stuck in a dead-end job and looking for something different? Join Steve on Not the 9-to-5 Pod as he talks to people who've been there and done that. Screw the 9-to-5 and join us on our journey to a more enjoyable life.
Welcome to the final episode of Season 1 of Not the 9-to-5 Pod. For those of you that have listened to every episode so far, thanks heaps for the support. For those of you that haven't heard the other episodes, I recommend listening to them in order to get a full appreciation of the show. Each season has a theme, and season one has been around the idea of why change from what you're currently doing. In our finale of season one, I spoke to Cam Calhoun. He was born with cerebral palsy, and instead of worrying about the way he walked and the way he talked, he turned these perceived weaknesses into his biggest strengths, becoming an athletic gold medalist and inspirational speaker. I talked to Cam about his childhood, taking risks and doing something outside of your comfort zone. I finished season one with this conversation, because if you've been making excuses to yourself not to change career, then hopefully this will inspire you to make a change. I'm Steve O'Ealy. Thanks for listening to Not the 9-to-5 Pod. So yeah, thanks again, Cam, for coming on the podcast. Just to get us into things, can you tell our listeners a bit about your background and story?
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for having me. Thanks to the person that connected us last week.
Thanks, Kate.
I'm a full-time speaker, but look, this was not what I imagined my life would be. I was born with cerebral palsy, so you don't need to adjust your speakers. I sound like this all the time, so it's a physical disability which affects the way in which messages travel around my body. And I ended up turning my two biggest challenges, the way I walk and the way I talk, into my two biggest strengths, becoming a full-time athlete and now a full-time speaker, and show those as ways to build on the dream that I had always had. Ever since I was a kid in a treehouse, I'd always dreamed about a life where I could travel, where I could entertain, and where I could connect. And so whenever opportunities came up that would lead me to those things, I'd say yes. And at high school, I got into athletics, and I was in class, and there was a bit of paper circling for our students to put our name down for their upcoming athletics day. And I was really scared, you know. I had a voice in my head saying, "What will people think? What will my face say?" And my best mate, he said, "Look, Cam, just put your name down for the shortest event, for 100 meters. And I got there and I ran that race, and I didn't come first, second, third, fourth. I came last, dead last. But as I ran down that track, I heard people saying, "Go Cam, go Cam, go Cam." And I decided that I was going to live my life as the best possible athlete that I could be. So straight away, I started training like the best. And when people would say, Cam, can you come and speak about your journey? And that's how eventually I got into being a full-time speaker. And that's what I do now.
Before doing the speaking, did you ever have anything you would sort of have considered a routine job? Or have you always had quite an unusual career?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So when I finished high school, I got a scholarship to university. I studied communications and I went and worked for a charity and we had to raise. Actually, when I think about it, no, I've never had a normal job. I think my dreams have always been bigger than what I would see a safe, secure 9-to-5 job could ever create for me. Yeah, I've always, even when I had a so-called working job of a paycheck, regular, starting at 9, finishing at 5, there was never a normal aspect to that job. I always had big ambition, big drive, and so even within those normal jobs, I don't believe I had a normal position, if that makes sense.
And in terms of the speaking, which is now your full-time job, did you sort of stumble upon it by people asking you to do it, or was it something that you'd always planned to do?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I'd always planned to travel to entertain and connect. And so when those opportunities came up, I would tick that box. Even if it was scary, even if it got the butterflies flying and the knees shaking, I would say yes. And I was away competing in Sweden as an athlete. And my manager rang me up and he said, Cam, when you get back to New Zealand, could you come and speak at a school? And I said, oh, Dean, you know me, man. I'm terrified of speaking. To which he responded with the quote, do one thing every day that scares you. And I went along and I actually mucked up that speech. I sneezed halfway through it. I had snot all over my face. It was at a high school and I was pretty much straight out of high school myself. So it was really embarrassing. But at that time, being up on that stage and having connected with people who at first thought I was someone different, someone that they couldn't connect to, and to see the way in which that inspired people, that's what I became addicted to. That's what fueled me. And that's what became better than anything that would be too hard, too scary, or perceivably impossible. And so much like with my athletics, I just studied the best of the best and set my goals really high to be a full-time professional speaker.
That's awesome. And I think it's really cool that two of the things that you've pursued would be particularly challenging with the cerebral palsy.
Yeah. And I think that's just a coincidence in a way. You know, it's not like I intentionally set out to go, oh, I was told this is my challenge, so I'm going to prove people wrong. It was more I didn't let those perceived realities get in the way of a dream. And I think when people are thinking about shifting from their 9-to-5 to perhaps their side hustle or their hobby or their career, it's about not letting your perceived reality get in the way, but you've got to be so passionate about that dream that you are prepared to work harder than you've ever worked before to make it a reality.
I reckon 99 out of 100 people in your position would have said, there's no way I'm becoming an athlete, or there's no way I'm doing speaking as my full-time profession. Is it something someone told you, or something about your mindset? What is it that pushed you past those barriers to do what you really wanted to do?
So everything's a real chicken and egg situation, you know. You see people who have amazing parents and they go completely different ways. We see people who go to great schools, they go completely different ways. I was fortunate that I had really awesome mum and dads, and I definitely let that contribute towards me. So I remember my treehouse. It was bigger, more gnarly than any other treehouse when I was a kid, you know. It had windows, it had a rope swing, it was gnarly. And when people came over to look at my treehouse, family day of the Calcoons, they'd look up at my treehouse, they'd see me walking and wobbling, and they'd say, you really let Cam go all the way up there. What if he falls over? To which my mum and dad would respond, but what if he made it to the top? And so I think that whole thing of being able to build resilience and also never wanting to be defined by my cerebral palsy, rather being defined by my dreams and my ambition. You know, I didn't want to be Cam, the kid who walked different. I wanted to be Cam, the kid who made other kids feel good and believe that things were possible. You know, even if it's a really little kid, I knew I wanted to be popular at school, and therefore I knew that I had to step outside my comfort zone in order to create the comfort zone for other kids. So I'd walk up to kids and say, yo, dude, I can't skateboard this weekend because my balance isn't as good as yours. I'd give you a compliment. I'd make you feel good. I'd explain why I was the way I was. But I have my scooter, and with my scooter, I can go wherever you go. And then we were able to just focus on, well, let's go skating. And we realized that a lot of us, we actually have way more in common than what makes us different. You know, we all have lung, blood, heart, sense of humor. Well, most of us do anyway. And when you turn those things inside out, you build connection, you build rapport, you build friendship. And as a speaker, that's what I aim to do on stage, to make people feel good, to inspire them to step outside their comfort zone and to give more than you ever receive.
So in terms of the speaking itself, a lot of people will know of inspirational speakers, but most people wouldn't actually know what your average day looks like. I know there won't be an average day, but do you tend to have a typical schedule, like you'll do 2 speaking events per day, 5 days a week, or how do you make it work for you?
How I make it work for me is I work out what kind of impact do I want to have. So how many people do I want to reach in a year? You know, and I work out I want to inspire 30,000 people. I work out how many events that would be needed to create that. So on an average year here in New Zealand, that's 150 events per year. And then all you're doing is working out, well, in order to reach those kind of numbers, one, I need to be sending out as much communications as I do. So in my morning, when I'm free or quiet, I'm sending out emails, communicating with people. From those emails, I'm on the phone talking with people, finding out about how are you feeling, what's going on. And then the other best thing is just to be the best that you can be every single time I get to step on that stage, because people talk, and reputation, word of mouth is the most powerful thing that you can create. But in saying all that, there is no regular day as a speaker. Prior to COVID, I'd be going all over the world. I'd be speaking in Rotorua in the morning, jumping on a plane in the evening, flying up to Amsterdam to speak at Heineken, and then coming home via the Gold Coast of Australia. And there was something I really loved about the challenge of never saying no. So if it was at all possible to do an event where in 1 week you may be in 3 different continents, I would do all that I could to make that happen. I remember flying up to Canada to do a 25-minute speech and then flying back home.
How does that work for the jet lag?
Yeah, well, as I found out really quickly, it didn't work too well. But I got to Canada, I'd never driven on the other side of the road before. I thought, oh, how hard can that be? Turns out it's really hard, you know? But all that stuff, it just contributes to the journey of life. And we've got to never underestimate that the biggest dream of this world is our life, you know, is being alive, is being able to get up each and every day and enjoy it. And so whether things are going good or bad, remember that it's just all a part of that journey, part of our biggest dream. Because once this is gone, we can't come back, so you may as well. If something inspires us, if the reasons for saying yes are way more awesome than the perceptions for saying no, get out there and do it.
So in terms of people trapped in those 9-to-5 professions, do you have friends that are potentially stuck in a job they don't like? And what do you think are the barriers that are stopping them getting out?
I'm a big believer of your reflection of the people you surround yourself with. Most of my mates don't have normal jobs. Most of them, even if they've got a so-called normal aspect of a job and another part of their life, a full-time athlete or an entertainer or setting up the business or leading. But I do watch a lot of people. I love working out what drives humanity. I do 150 speeches a year. I read 150 different brief forms from different people. And I think the biggest challenges or the biggest things getting in people's way is the comfort zone. It's easy to keep doing what's comfortable. And in 2019, I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. And I climbed up for people who worked with Sir Richard Branson, people who had billion-dollar companies, people who were broke 10 years ago and within that period had become multi-millionaires, performers. And that's not to name drop. It's more I asked all of them what got them to the level of success. And they all said at the point of getting comfortable, we challenged ourselves further. I think a lot of people are afraid to take a risk of doing what's a little bit different, even saying hello to someone in the street. But, you know, if you can make that effort each and every day to do something that's maybe taking a risk, maybe it is just saying hello to someone, it's amazing how that can give us a different perspective on the world that is around us and realizing that the titles people have are only the titles that we choose to focus on. Everyone has their life. The third thing is just doing what's different and not doing the same each and every day, but looking at what you can do different with the skills that you have to enhance life for someone else. And I was speaking on the Gold Coast of Australia a couple of years ago, and his dad came up to me and started talking to me about his daughter. And his daughter had cerebral palsy, but unlike me, was born with a funky eye. The dad would take his daughter to the glass eye surgeon. Now, this is a guy who just looked to tick a box, you know, didn't look to create an experience. And he gave his daughter an eye that was too big for his daughter's face. And when the eye's too big for your face, that's when you start to get facial deformities. And he looked at the eye and he thought to himself, maybe he could do a better job. So he jumped on Google and he said, how to make a glass eye. And he's a glazier. So he'd been working with glass and windows his entire life. And he made a glass eye for his daughter. And he now has studied how to make glass eyes professionally, and he's doing 900 glass eyes a year for people all over the world because he looked at his skill set from a different perspective.
It's really interesting. So a lot of people that might be on the verge of or considering changing career, there's two common lines of thought that stop people. One would be, I'm not that good at whatever it is that I'm passionate about. And the other one is, what I'm passionate about can't possibly make me money. What would you say to people with those two sort of excuses for not making the leap?
It comes down to what are the other perceptions? Why are you making those excuses? Right? Being a speaker, and I remember going up to New York for the first time and ringing up all the speaker agents up there. And being rejected. There's no way that you can make it work as a speaker. Listen to your voice. I kept trying. I walked into Central Park and I saw hundreds, thousands of people living their dreams. And I asked myself, do I stop or do I keep going? Do I truly believe? And the thing about believing is you've got to be training. So making sure every single day we're getting a little bit better. We've got to be committed, decide what we want to be extraordinary in, and don't let anything get in our way. And we've got to keep going back, because once you turn a tap on an opportunity, we've got to keep catching the opportunity rather than let it absorb into the ground. And we'll see people who decide that they want to transform their body and they buy a gym membership, and within a few months, they're no longer going to the gym. And so that's where the passion of how much do you truly believe in your dream. because it is going to take hard work. It is going to take all that stuff. It is going to take rejection. You know, you'll be stepping into something where someone's got so many more years experience on top of you, and you've got to be able to catch that person. So this thing of stepping away from your 9-to-5 to create something better, I truly believe has to be seen as being that's not necessarily going to be easy. The result might be easier, the ultimate income and impact may be better, but you've got to be prepared to do stuff for free. You've got to be prepared to change your lifestyle habit in order to make that your reality. When I started speaking, I'd meet from speakers who say, oh, Cam, I don't get out of bed for under $5,000, right? And then I'd meet up with those speakers a few years later, and they'd say, Cam, how have you got so busy? How have you been able to speak all over the world? And I'd say, because I'd get out of bed for whatever it took. It didn't matter how small or what was involved. It was about seeing the value of getting out there and being given an opportunity to do what you love. Great musicians, they love their music. Great athletes, they love their sport. All the other success, the fame, the fortune, that will come as a result of it.
I think there's two key things you said there. One is there's got to be a genuine passion for something. It can't just be something that you're vaguely interested in. But the other part, and you talked about this earlier, was having that resilience. And if you're going to go into your own sort of ideal work life, I think you have to have that resilience and be able to persist through the crap. So that's the criticism, rejections, assholes, and pressure.
Yeah, I love it. And there's something beautiful about turning that rejection into an affection. So there's been many times as a speaker in meeting with managers and all of that, where at first they've rejected me. And you can look at that as them rejecting you, or you can look at it in that you're stepping into a hugely competitive world where every single day they're getting people saying, I want to be a speaker. Every single day they're getting people. And so they have to raise the bar, and you have to be inspired and prepared to leap that bar. And that's where that thing of it's got to be your dream. It can't be someone else's dream, because that's going to be what's getting you up in the morning to do what you have to do to make that your reality. Everyone's process is going to be a different process, but you've got to believe in that. You've got to trust it.
I can really identify with what you just said there, because when I first started podcasting, I was firing off email after email, and I'd have 50 emails and it would be rejection after rejection. And now that I'm a bit more established and I've been going for a while and have a bit of sort of kudos behind me, in the last week I've done 4 podcast interviews, and most people will agree to do a podcast because I've put in the work and because I've got something to show for it. And it definitely didn't happen overnight. And there was definitely a period in the early stage where I almost thought I'm just going to give up. But you've just got to keep persisting.
And how does that feel now? Like, how do you feel now from when you felt a month ago?
Oh, way better.
And so that's the thing with, like, I often speak about creating an awesome life. And that's what awesome is all about. You know, awesome isn't the same as cool, gnarly, fantastic. Awesome is always going to be those things that are getting your knees shaking, your butterflies flying. You get to the other side of it and it becomes the best thing that you've ever done.
I think there's a lot more satisfaction out of working for a long period on something and getting that long-term success versus that instant reward.
Yeah.
In the same way as I could go and grab a bag of lollies and have the sweet taste of lollies and you get like a little bit of a hit, but it doesn't really do much for you as to satisfaction.
Because you don't really want the lollies, right? You just want that little fix. And so if the fix is what's driving you and motivating you, you're going to burn out. You know, it's not worth it, man. It's way easier just to keep doing what you do and keep getting paid what you pay, because you've got people that you need to support. You've got a lifestyle you want to support. But when that thing comes along and it gets you so excited and it keeps you up at night and you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're crafting it, you're dreaming it, that's when you know you've got something. And then when someone comes up to you and says, hey, I really like what you did with that podcast, with that talk, with that bit of writing. You hold on to that and you let that person become your mentor. You say, cool, like, what did you like about it? Learn from it. What would you do? And then get their advice. You know, that mentors and inspiration for when we're going from a 9 to 5 until you're developing what you want to develop. Mentors and inspiration is so, so important.
Something I heard from my friend who recommended you was a story about your dad. Can you give us a little bit of a story about his career?
So my dad, for as long as he can remember, wanted to be a dog trainer. Until the end of high school, there's an opportunity to go on and realize his dream. And he wrote a letter to every dog trainer in New Zealand telling them about who he wanted to be, right? He was just persistent, just write that letter. And he got a letter back from one guy and he said, you're too dumb to be a dog trainer. So my dad was born with dyslexia. That meant he spelled a lot of his words backwards. And I guess that could have presented a bit of a problem to someone saying they wanted to be a dog trainer. And Dad ended up moving to Holland. He got an opportunity over there to work at a dog training academy. At that dog training academy, he got to train a wild wolf. He set up a TV show in Holland where it turned people's chihuahuas into amazing, well-behaved animals. He came back to New Zealand. He was involved in TV shows, guide dogs. And, you know, 35 years later, he is still living his dream as a professional dog trainer. And it's all about resilience. You know, Dad was told at the beginning that he was too dumb because of the way that the world was, but he couldn't train his dogs. Yet he believed in his dream so much that he changed his environment. And this is really key. You know, whatever that dream is, how prepared are you to change your environment to make that happen, whatever that environment may look like? Through changing his environment, he got to ultimately get his success. Maybe we don't want to dream big. Maybe we're okay where we are. But maybe these people around us who are dreaming big, who want to achieve incredible things, and we want to be the people in their lives who say, yep, you know what, I believe you can do that. You want to be that supporter. You don't want to be that person who's potentially getting in someone else's way, because every single one of us has the ability to rewrite our books. You know, when I was born with cerebral palsy, and mum and dad were told all these things, and they weren't given any positive news, and they decided to create quite a different life. And they created that because they stayed true to the dreams that inspired them to be mum and dad. So they wanted a kid who would be able to play soccer. So they created those opportunities for me.
You make such a good point about the responsibility of people that might not necessarily want to make a big career change themselves, but know of someone else. Because I think it's really important to have supportive people and to realize how important you as a friend or a family member can be to someone who has a dream, because your parents could just have easily have not believed in you, and you probably wouldn't be where you are today if they didn't believe in you, because eventually they would have just smacked down your dreams.
Yep, and look, school teachers could have done that, could have smacked down my dreams. I was fortunate that they didn't. So that's why it is also a real fine line between you've got to have those people, but you've also got to be speaking your dream. You've got to be putting it out for you. You've got to be believing in yourself in order for other people to believe in you. You know, if someone tells you that you can't do it, prove to them that you can do it. Because there were definitely teachers in my life who at first were like, nah, he's not going to be the top student. He's not going to do well. I'd work harder, I'd train harder than any other kid at school in order to showcase that I could get to that level academically that would lead on to scholarships or lead on to representing our country in sport, whatever it may be. Speaking the dream is so, so important, speaking it and believing in it.
So for people that are sitting there thinking, I really don't like my job and I want to take a risk and do something different, do you have 3 pieces of advice that you would give to people looking to make that change?
Yeah, I mean, the first, it's not really one of the pieces, but just having the mentors and the inspiration around you all the time, going up to people, dude, how do you do what you do? How do you do what you do? reading the stories and realizing that there's so many incredible people in this world who have been told that they couldn't do what they wanted to do, but stayed persistent. At the moment, we're watching the Paralympics, you know, there's a daily dose of inspiration of people who are doing incredible things. We're seeing people fly back into space, you know, Sir Richard Branson, and he speaks about how as a kid, as a poor kid, that seemed like just such an incredibly impossible thing, but for him, it was a dream. So have those mentors, have that inspiration. Know that there's a transition period. So if you've got a job right now and you want to be somewhere else, I gave myself 1 year to transition into my normal job in terms of having a regular income to being a speaker. I gave myself a year to do that. I would speak my dreams every opportunity I got. Tell people who you want to be, what you want to be. Get it out there. Be crazy. Be confident about those dreams. And then I always put impact over income. So if there's an event coming up, what's the impact that I can have? And that impact for me always has to be greater than the income, because I know that the impact will be what generates more word of mouth, work and exposure.
Now that's really good advice.
Yeah, now, and have fun. Immerse yourself 100% in it. But that's why it's not an easy thing to build that dream. That's a little bit different.
A lot of guests do say something along those lines of it not being easy and stuff. There's a difference between not easy and not fun, because the more challenging it is, the more that you'll grow as a person and the more rewarding it will be going forward. It won't be easy at first, and it's definitely going to be tough at first. But over time, it's going to be so much rewarding than sticking in a boring job that you're not enjoying.
Totally. But it's being prepared for that rejection along the way. People, even maybe mentors, been like, oh, I haven't really got time. Or I was listening to another speaker, and he really wanted a specific mentor. And the mentor just kept burning him off. And so he went into a bookstore, the biggest bookstore in Sydney, and he brought every single book by that mentor, and he took a photo of himself in all these books. You know, and he had like a huge box of books. And he said, now would you be my mentor? And they've gone on and they've become great mentors and friends. And, you know, and it's just having that time to look at things from a new perspective.
I'm quite passionate about people not wasting their lives sitting at an office doing a job. Like, if you genuinely love what you're doing, if you're an accountant and you love doing accounting, nothing against that. But I've got a mate who's got such a negative attitude to work, and he's like, it just pays the bills, man. I love my snowboarding, but I just do work to pay the bills. But he's going to be doing this for 40 years. And in that time, he could develop himself and actually find a niche within his work or in another area that he could love.
But that's where that passion, that's where that being really inspired, because he may not have that inspiration as to what is possible, right? And I think there's a lot of people who just see work as being a way to pay the bills. And as long as I can have the mortgage, you know, keep the family happy and get some beers on the weekend, you know, like I'm happy with that. And I think a lot of people, and I've been trying to think about where that comes from. And I don't know.
It's a safety thing, as you said before.
Yeah, it is. But then also, how safe is it if you're doing a job that you don't really enjoy? And we talk about in terms of mental health. New Zealand's got increasing statistics of mental health. And if you go, well, the majority of people are just doing a job that is comfortable, how much of that is contributing towards that statistic? Whereas if they were really inspired to do what they love.
And there's so many people doing meaningless jobs too. I read a statistic somewhere, I can't remember the exact statistic, but it's something like 40 or 50% of people are in jobs that they themselves consider are meaningless.
Yeah, sad, eh? And that's why having this conversation is so important and be encouraged to get it out there.
Thanks, Cam, heaps for your time. Before you go, can you just tell our listeners where we can find out more about you and what you do?
Absolutely. Just jump into my website. I'm sure it'll be in some show notes, camcalcoon.com. Other than that, I'm just on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and basically I just try and put stuff out there that makes people smile, feel good, and inspires them to step outside their comfort zone. And if that leads to me doing more speeches, well, then that's an awesome result too. But at the end of the day, it's just about making people feel good.
That was season one of Not the 9 to 5 Pod. I thought I'd start the conversation off asking the question, why change from what you're currently doing? Next season, the theme is identifying where you are currently. I wanted to point out some common themes from guests we've had in season one. Number one is work hard. If you're going to make a change into something else, you're going to have to work hard at it. You can't just be average. Number two, do it as a side hustle. This is a great way to dabble into something that you are thinking about doing, without the stress of completely giving up the safety and security of what you're currently doing. A third common tip is incremental improvements. So not expecting the change to happen overnight. If you're doing it as a side hustle or even making a complete change, you're not overnight going to be great at your new venture. You've just got to incrementally improve what you're doing. A fourth common theme, enjoy the journey, not the destination. If you're only aiming for some goal 5 or 10 years into the future and you're going to be miserable every day leading up to that, it's just not going to happen. You're eventually going to quit. You've got to enjoy what you're doing, so enjoy the journey. And a final tip that seems to be a common theme is do something different. You're not going to make a real change in your life if you just keep doing what you're doing. In one shape or form, you have to do something different from what you're currently doing. It wasn't explicitly said by any of the guests, but if you want to lead a life that gives you a sense of satisfaction, you've got to stop focusing on what's best for yourself and start asking yourself how you can positively contribute to other people's lives with the skills, interests, and experience you have. It's amazing what a difference it'll make to you if you stop getting out of your own head and start focusing on how you can benefit others. There's a great quote from Albert Einstein, which is, "Only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile." I think if we have this attitude to life, it will make a huge difference to you and to everyone else around you. So some tips from Cam Calcoon from this episode. At the point of getting comfortable, challenge yourself further. Number two, do something that scares you each and every day. And number three, take risks. You only have one life, so you've got to take risks at some point. As for every episode, I'll give you a task to do, and this one is something to do before next season. If you haven't already done so, take a risk and sign up to a job you know you'll like. Even if it pays crap or it's only part-time, if it's different to what you're currently doing, you will definitely grow as a person. Thanks again for listening to season one of Not the 9 to 5 Pod. I'm your host, Steve. I would really appreciate if you share with your friends. This podcast is growing, but any support is always appreciated. I'll be seeing you back in Season 2 on April 4th, 2022. In the meantime, my wife is about to have a baby, so I'll be out of action for a few months. Until then, enjoy yourselves, have some fun, take some risks, and we'll see you shortly for Season 2 of Not the 9 to 5 Pod. All the best for now, we'll see you later.
You have a choice. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to be? Because life is all about living for awesome and knowing that when we dream big, we really do achieve more. Awesome!
Thanks for tuning in to Not the 9 to 5 Pod, hosted by Steve O'Ealy. If you have any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at NotTheNineToFivePod. If you enjoyed listening, please share it with your friends. We'd also appreciate a 5-star review on your podcast app. See you next time on Not The 9 to 5 Pod.